This call is being recorded. If you do not wish to be recorded, please disconnect at this time.
Good morning. This is Joel Whitaker, the editor of Cane's Beverage News Daily, and we are talking today with Bill Earle, the president of the National Association of Beverage Importers. Good morning, Bill, and how are you?
Hey, Joel. Good to hear from you.
So overnight before this recording, as it turned out, we were watching the election in Great Britain, the referendum in Great Britain, I should say, rather, where they voted to leave the European Union. And I'm wondering what that impact might have on your members who are beverage importers here in the United States. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure, I can give it a try. Something like this that's happened overnight has got probably a lot of unknowns associated with it, but the obvious impacts are pretty apparent. So I'm happy to talk about a few of those. The number one, the British pound sterling has fallen to its lowest point in 30 years. So in terms of how importers in the U.S. Deal, they pay for their product in U.S. dollars, and those U.S. dollars have suddenly become more valuable. So I think that's a plus up for us. Whether it will make product cheaper at the retail level is another story. I think it would have to remain in place for an extended period of time for that to work its way through the market, because rapid fluctuations don't get reflected in prices that have been contracted for 6 months or 8 months or a year. So we'd have to see how that plays out over time.
Okay. If it if it remains lower versus the U.S. dollar, I presume that at some point the importers might lower the price they charge the retailers, and then we'll have to see, of course, if the retailers lower their price. But they both could decide just to maintain prices where they are and increase their profits, right?
That's potential. I mean, it's like anything else in the commercial environment. Do you ever see the price of a car really going down? You might see a discount or 0% financing for a while. But over the long term, unless there's a significant adjustment like the Great Recession we went through, you really don't see that kind of material jump. Typically, importers and manufacturers are using their savings to adjust for higher costs for labor and glass and shipping and insurance and compliance and that sort of thing. So I think the best we can hope for is probably stable pricing as opposed to significant lower pricing that you might see in the market.
Okay, so if the British pound continues lower for a while, but maybe not forever, good for the importers, good for the retailers maybe, but not the sort of thing that will increase the exports of product from Britain to the United States, so bad for Britain.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I think it's possible that during a window when that dollar is strong, you could see U.S. importers and wholesalers stocking up. So it might be a time in the near term for those suppliers to see a slight uptick in their products leaving Scotland or the UK to be put into inventory for staging for future sales. So that normally has consequences down the road, because then they don't order later on because the market's not keeping up with purchasing and depletions. But just something to watch, yeah.
Right, and when they order, do they order and get billed at today's price, or do they order and then get billed at whatever the price is when the product is shipped?
It all depends on the contract. So all of these are governed by a contract between the importer and the supplier. So typically, some of those contracts are ex the distillery. So at the time it leaves the distillery, that's when the price, that's when it's paid. And whatever the value of the dollar is at that time. In other contracts, there is the built-in payment within 120 days or 60 days. So you've got all kinds of arrangements, and nothing is really standard. It all depends on what you negotiate.
Okay, so it's one of those things we'll have to see. But I'm willing to bet that your members who have contracts where it's X the distillery or X the winery are faxing their orders over there right now. What do you think?
Well, like I said, it's you always want to take advantage of a situation as bleak as it might be for the Brits. There's an advantage for somebody in business. You're going to take advantage. You're going to jump on it. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. Is there any? Do you have any ideas to how this might affect your imports from other countries than the United Kingdom?
I don't see a significant impact on other imports other than it triggering a bit of contraction in people's spending habits.
Mm-hmm.
We've already, it's less than 12 hours since we've gotten the news of this thing. So, they're predicting that, lower growth rates and lower buying power, retirees, pensions being adversely affected, all in the EU and Great Britain. But, growth has been pretty positive in the United States. Unemployment is virtually, at a lowest point it's been at. But if it resulted in some kind of economic ripple that caused consumers to think twice about buying that, $100 bottle of single malt, you might have some impact there. Or if he's buying something out of Australia or, another part of the world. So I'd say wait and see.
Too soon to call.
Too soon to call, for sure.
Okay, good. Now, on Tuesday of this week, and we're recording this on June 24th, so on Tuesday, June 21st, TTB published a Federal Register ruling which seems to deal largely with imports and how you get them through CPB, which would be what? Customs and Bureau Protection, Border Protection. Can you tell us a little bit about what that rule says and how you view it helping or hurting importers?
Yeah, well, we were glad to see the rule. I mean, it shows one thing, that TTB is on top of this implementation of the Customs and Border Protection's electronic system called ACE, which is the Automated Commercial Environment. ACE is, the shorthand for that is it's the way to electronically file all of the information you need to make entry of imported goods into the United States. Beer, wine, and spirits are, a big part of the important valuation of imports into the United States through customs. So we're happy to see TTB getting on board with what needs to be done to achieve the economies and the, the efficiency of that system. Mm-hmm. Basically, that system is referred to as a single window. So the single window meaning that once you file your import manifest for shipping purposes and entering into the United States, you are providing the information to all of the partner government agencies that are involved with bringing product to the United States. In the case of alcohol, it's obviously TTB number one, customs number two, because they're collecting the federal excise tax at the point of entry. But we also have requirements that relate to FDA, because FDA administers something called a prior notice.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a prior notice before coming in. And customs has a secondary security measure called 10+2, which is part of their bioterrorism law that went into effect back in 2004. So the filings for that, which are also part of the electronic manifest, would all be made in one place. So you can see there are 47 partner government agencies in the U.S. that are interacting with customs on imports. So this has got a huge potential for streamlining and easing the flow of goods into the United States through this single window, once it becomes fully operative. And the ramp-up to that is very aggressive right now. Back in 2014, President Obama signed an executive order that mandated the completion of what is called the International Trade Data System, ITDS. And this has been in development for several years, basically establishing a standard language and methodology for reporting electronic transactions and in this case, in the import sector. So that gave momentum to all of these federal agencies like, you know, TTB and FDA, but more so agencies that we don't deal with every day, which is Consumer Product Safety Administration, the EPA, you know, Department of Agriculture, Commerce, you name it, 47 of those guys. So for the potential for this is really, you know, could be, you know, significant for our industry and for commerce in general.
Right. I was thinking as you were describing it, it sounds like it would be a tremendous benefit and make business just an awful lot easier for U.S. importers in doing their necessary activities with the federal government. I'm stunned, Bill, to hear that there are 47 agencies that are in one way or another have their fingers into the import pie, which I guess I shouldn't be because I'm a retired intelligence officer and I know about all the other agencies outside of the intelligence community that also have intelligence operations, but I am very stunned about that 47 number, which makes this a really good thing, I think.
Yeah, well, just think about it. My former agency, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, also has a role here. I mean, they're part of this because of the import and export of firearms, explosives materials, armaments, and the rest of it. So you don't always think about those little niche agencies that are out there with a finger, you know, in the pie.
Right.
But it's got real potential. I think it's a great accomplishment. The ACE system, this total automation, has been the recipient of hundreds of millions of dollars from Congress over the years. It actually started in 2001, so we're sitting on 15 years to get this thing to the point we're at right now. And there have been some missteps. Customs would probably be the first one to admit that, but I think with the commissioners they've had over the last several years being a little bit more oriented toward the importance of trade as opposed to what we all normally hear from Customs, which is border protection and, you know, building walls and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I think they lost a little bit of, vision about that, particularly after 9/11, but they really regrouped, and this is evidence of that.
Sure. And I suspect it would make, and you can put on your former chief financial officer hat here, I would suspect it would actually help improve the efficiency of government operations in agencies like TTB or ATF.
Well, think about it. I mean, it basically eliminates the need for paper.
Mm-hmm.
So you're cutting down on all that paper. You're taking that out of the picture. Secondly, you're making the access to the information much easier because you can access it from any terminal or computer or access device. So you can have people work from different locations. The industry and and the government can get stuff done over the weekends if they want to. Any 24/7. So. And from around the world. So it's got some real promise in bigger ways than we even know today, probably.
That's a real plus. How about the impact on COLAs? I think the proposed rulemaking has some discussion of COLAs and the impact of it on.
It does. In fact, the two primary electronic documents that will be transmitted would be the permit number, showing that you're an authorized importer, and the COLA. Now, the COLA has been available as a electronic item for several years now. So it's not a particularly new element of this. It's just a matter that it's now going to be integrated totally into the import manifest as one stream of data going to customs. When TTB created the electronic submission processing and archiving of COLAs, they immediately made those links available to other government agencies. So we've been using that and transacting in the electronic COLAs for some time. It's just that those the few companies that haven't been doing that are going to have to get on board or be left behind.
Right. And I think the proposal also proposed something about removing GEN statements of process What do you know about that? And why would the government?
Once you get beyond the top two electronic topics of that rulemaking, you get down into another 17 different iterations of relief and streamlining that TTB took on as a part of this role. And when you go from gin statements to certificates of vintage date or winemaking practices or age and authenticity, I think what TTB has done is they've said, look, we don't really need those statements sent to us. As a result of this rulemaking, we are going to provide that those be retained by the industry member for possible, you know, examination, audit, inspection at a time of choosing of the government, you know, at an audit or you know, verification,
right,
or a spot check, you know, in terms of their, you know, market compliance. They you know, do so many importers or industry members a year. So I think the good news out of this rulemaking is looking at those 17 additional relief items, you know, the statement of process for gin and the name just one. It's good for industry because, you know, basically you keep the file. You don't have to, you know, share it with the government. It's not going to be something you're going to trip over because it's not there as part of your importation.
So this rulemaking sounds like a real positive plus for business and for industry then.
That's our interpretation. It's an implementation of something that TTB is doing with, you know, 46 other government agencies, but I think to TTB's credit, they took the opportunity to look at other areas that they didn't have to and provide, you know, ideas and suggestions about expediting and streamlining the whole record system and how we, you know, how we deal. And so, you know, it's kind of like what was done back in the 80s, really, when TTB went from, you know, an on-premises oversight of the alcohol industry to an all in bond concept where they basically just took government records as the evidence of what you needed to pay for taxes. So yeah, now the unknown, and here again, this is only, you know, what, 3 days old. So what we are doing is we're going out to our members, particularly to their compliance staffs, and asking them how they view these changes. And I'm going to ask our members to do one thing more, which is to look at other areas that maybe TTB didn't touch on. And when we comment on this, we're going to see if there are other things that could be added to the list that would make life better for both sides.
Good. Excellent. Well, Bill, I thank you very much for your time here. I think this has been an excellent interview. You certainly cleared up some confusion in my mind on this Federal Register ruling. And of course, as you said, it's entirely too early to really know what the impact of Brexit will be on U.S. importers or U.S. retailers. But it certainly is a big story at the moment, and we'll just have to wait and see. Bill Earle, thank you so much for your time, and we'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
You're welcome, Joel. Happy to do
this call has been recorded.